Welcome to the Celtic Myth Pod Show, bringing the tales and stories of the ancient Celts to your fireside.
Episode 49 of Kitchens and Kings. Hello, I'm Gary.
And I'm Ruth. Welcome to our seventh episode in the Saga of Branwen.
Seven.
I know.
Going quick, isn't it?
It is.
Wow. That makes another five to go. 12 in total. So I forget. I can't count. Anyway, we hope you're all safe and well and looking after each other. And if you'd like to chat to us or contact us in any way, leave us feedback perhaps. We'd love to hear from you. Just email us at CelticMythShow@gmail.com.
Alternatively, do come and leave us some voice feedback using the SpeakPipe widget on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Have we got any news and views?
We have, actually.
Oh, that's good.
As many people are still staying at home, we thought we'd help to promote some talented folks who are creating YouTube channels, storytelling, reciting poetry, and doing all manner of wonderful things to keep us all entertained.
So keep an ear open for our special promos after the story. You can also find all the links for this episode in the show notes online at CelticMythPodShow.com/kitchensandkings.
So let's remind ourselves of what happened in our story last week.
Okay, sounds good. Manawydan brought the offer of the Welsh king, Bran, to Motherlough.
Lord, our king, Bran the Blessed, recognises the great wrong done to you. He offers a silver rod as thick as your little finger and as tall as yourself, as well as a gold plate as broad as your face.
Yes. It is a good offer for an honour price, but I think it is not grand enough for the honour of all Erin. What say you nobles all?
The humiliation is great, my lord. I say that blood calls for blood. We should go to war.
It seems to me that you are not as happy at this feast as you were before, my lord. Is it because you feel that our honour price was too small? Then I shall add to it anything you might desire, and tomorrow I shall pay the horses as I promised.
Lord, may the gods reward you for your generosity.
And I shall make the honour price greater than any given before. I will give you a large and wondrous cauldron. If any of your men are slain today, then place the body within the cauldron, and tomorrow he will be as fit and as healthy again as he ever was in life.
Coming from deep within the human breast, the strongest feelings and the hottest passions find their seat in the stomach. There they dwell, making our cheeks flush, our breathing ragged, and setting our chests a-jitter. The more intense feelings bring a fire to the head that calls for action, driving all other thoughts and feelings out of our minds. On very rare occasions, two deep feelings that seem to contradict each other can dwell at the same time in the stomach, where they contend for attention, making the head swim with hard-to-define emotions. So it was for Branwen on the day of her departure from Wales with Matholwch. Her love for the flame-haired Irish king was a burning torch, and she was pleased to be leaving with him to begin her new life back on the green fields of Erin, the land of her birth. Branwen was also weeping freely, because she would also be leaving her family, moving away from those that loved her and the land she had grown to love, as well as wanting to leave with her new husband, was tearing her apart. As they rowed over the sand dunes to where King Matholoch's ships were harboured at Abermenai, she and her ladies were silent, for Branwen was filled with feelings hard to define, and she could find no words to say. She watched her brothers ride, and saw them keep glancing back at her with love and pain in their eyes, love and pain that were mirrored in Branwen's own breast. Later that day, as the 13 ships housing King Matholoch's court set sail from the Welsh coast, Branwen watched from the stern of the flagship and saw her brothers, and even young Pryderi, standing by their horses and watching her sail away. She wept under the hood of her cloak, and wrapped it even tighter around herself, occasionally watching her husband as he stood tall and proud in the prow of his ship. A noble warrior returning home with his prize, thought Branwen to herself, sure that he felt none of the turmoil of emotions that were contending in her stomach. They made landfall, and the ships were beached. The majority of the Irish king's fleet had already returned to Ireland, and their horses were brought to them so they could ride for home. When they finally rode into the gates of Matholoch's fort, there was great joy. People lined the walls and paths, waving and cheering at their king with his new bride. After they had refreshed themselves, Matholoch and Branwen took their seats in the great hall and welcomed all those nobles who came to congratulate them and give them their blessing. Branwen gave wonderful gifts to all of the great men and noble ladies that came to visit her, a clasp, a ring, or a royal jewel. Her gifts were so splendid that none walked away from the royal couple on their high seats without feeling that they had been greatly honoured. A whole year passed in like fashion, and Branwen became much loved and greatly honoured by the Irish people. Always there was a smile or a gift, and a kind word for whoever she saw, and she made many fine friends. During that year, she became with child, and her joy knew no bounds. In due time, she gave birth to a son, and the name that they gave him was Gwern, after the alder tree. As he was the firstborn of Matholoch and Branwen, just as the first human had been made from the alder tree, they wanted to grant the child the protection of the Fae. And so he grew healthily and quickly. Gwen was sent out to be fostered with the best and the most noble families in all of Erin. All was well, and King Matholoch and Branwen were happy. It was not until the second year of Branwen's time in Ireland that the cracks started to appear in their perfect world. It all began when the sensitive ears of Matholoch began to hear whisperings and murmurings in the crowds as they passed by. He heard voices, low and vengeful, mutter about the insult done to the people of the Emerald Isle while their lord was in Wales, and Matholoch knew that he had done his best to gain a marvellous honour prize, and he ignored those quiet voices. He ignored them until he was forced to listen to them in his own council chambers, from the mouths of his own foster brothers.
Lord, there are questions being asked in the court, and...
Questions? What questions?
They want to know why you were bought off when our very sovereignty suffered such an insult.
And you accepted ordinary horses in the place of our noble elfin steeds, my lord.
Who asks these questions?
People, my lord.
Which people?
Everyone, my lord.
And what else do they say, my nobles?
They say that because you failed to care for the land, the crops are starting to fail.
That you may be an unfit king, and in choosing a foreigner for wife, you have certainly made a bad choice.
So what would my council have me do?
You should seek revenge for that insult.
And how should I do that?
You should put Branwen far from you for a start.
And Matholoch pondered these words, and the insults buried their way deep into his ears like worms that tunneled deeply into the compost pile. The more the proud king heard the insults and the jokes, the more he became convinced that he had made wrong decisions back on the Island of the Mighty. Even as Matholwch laid himself down to sleep, his mind was awhirl with the voices and the laughter. The very presence of Branwen beside him in the huge bed they shared became almost a physical pain to him. Her warm skin made him too hot to sleep. Her beautiful raven black hair lay across his shoulder and felt as though a thousand spiders were crawling over his body, and each breath that slipped quietly through her lips as she slept sounded like the blast from a Karnix warhorn. He strode from the bedchamber and poured himself a glass of wine. Branwen awoke and followed him, the servants retreating to a respectful distance.
What troubles you, my lord?
I'm too hot to sleep.
Then perhaps I could help you sleep, my husband.
Branwen came up to him and laid her hand gently on his arm, her smile warm with desire. She was surprised when he shrunk away from her as though in pain. He threw down his goblet angrily.
Tell me, why did your brother, the Dark One, attack the pride of our horses, the very sovereignty of our land, when we were on the Island of the Mighty? Was he not aware of the depth of the insult he was making?
I do not know, my lord. Ever has he been troubled.
And the High King? All he offered in recompense was a bit of gold and silver and some horses. That's not enough.
But he did give you the Cauldron of Rebirth, my lord, and...
I know that. But he should have given me the head of the base and low brother of yours that did the deed.
But my brother Bran the Blessed could not offer you his own kin, could he, my lord?
Well, our crops are failing now because of his reticence. His reluctance is making my people begin to call me an unworthy king.
It has been a dry year, my lord. The crops will be failing back home as well. Only a weak king could...
I am not weak. I am strong.
And Matholwch lashed out and slapped Branwen so hard that she stumbled, and her cheek reddened instantly. Her eyes began to brim with moisture that she refused to let fall. She turned and ran to her own bedchamber, only then letting the salty tears fall onto her pillow. The very next day, Matholwch called all of his companions together in council and told them that he had struck the Lady Branwen and cast her out from his bedchamber. They were pleased to hear this, and said that the revenge of the Emerald Isle would not be complete unless she be regularly humiliated and beaten as well. They said that she should be banned from the king's chambers and be forced to cook for the court. It was also decreed that the court butcher, after he had finished tearing up the meat and be covered in blood, strike her every day, and that would make a fine punishment for the insult that they had received. Matholwch agreed, and that was what happened. Each day, the Lady Branwen was forced to cook and to bake in the kitchens, and when the great hulking brute of a butcher had finished cutting up the fresh meat, he would give her a bloody blow on the ear. And so was her punishment carried out. Matholwch went back to the council chambers and summoned the nobles to his side.
Have I done the right things, my lords?
You have, lord, you have.
What else could you have done, lord? In the face of their insult, you have exacted a most excellent punishment.
And just what the people need to hear to settle their minds, my lord.
But what happens if Bran the Blessed hears of our actions?
If you forbid all ships, small boats and even the coracles from going to Wales, then how should this punishment be known there?
And if any ships come over here from Wales, imprison them so they cannot go back and spread false rumours, lies and calumny about your actions amongst the Welsh people.
Yes, that sounds like a good idea. See that that is done.
For 3 years, Branwen spent her days kneading dough and baking bread in the kitchens of Matholwch's fine castle. For 3 years she would dread the arrival of the blood-soaked butcher who came to beat her about the ears. For 3 years she would roll herself up in a corner under empty sacking and cry herself quietly to sleep. For 3 years no one was allowed to talk to her. Her only friend was her magical white raven, who would fly to her side in the enclosure and sing songs of such beauty to her that her heart lifted momentarily with the memory of the mountains, the clear air of the Welsh hills, and the clear running water of the gills and the streams tumbling down the hillsides. the white raven with red eyes that her sister Rhiannon had given her when her nephew, young Pryderi, came to court, was her constant companion, and the only source of joy she had in these dark years. She spoke to her constantly and started to teach her to speak, desperate to hear the sound of another voice softly spoken to her. With infinite patience and loving care, she tore off small pieces of dough, and the bird flew down to hide under the cover of the kneading trough to eat them.
I am Branwen. Branwen. Branwen.
Bran. Bran. Wen. En. En. En.
Branwen.
Bran.
Branwen.
Bran.
Here, have some more.
Branwen. Bran. Wen. Branwen.
That's right, my little friend. Branwen.
So it went on day after day, week after week, through the spring, summer and into the winter, and the bird would nestle down amongst the sacking with her for warmth until Branwen had taught the magical bird how to say many common words.
Giant of a man. Giant of a man. Black hair. And a black beard. Black hair.
Black hair. Black hair.
That's right. Bran the Blessed. Bran the Blessed.
Bran. Bran the Blessed. Bran the Blessed. Black hair.
Branwen is a prisoner.
Branwen is a prisoner. Branwen. Is a prisoner. Branwen.
Branwen is a prisoner in the kitchens.
Branwen is a prisoner in the kitchens.
Bran the Blessed. Branwen is a prisoner in the kitchens and beaten every day.
Every minute that passed, she taught the raven, her magical little songbird of the royal line of birds, the words to say. And the raven could feel her sorrow in every syllable. Several times when the butcher came to perform his duties, the raven was not quite quick enough to hide, and he tried to swat the bird out of the air with his huge meaty paws. But the bird was always too agile, and flew up into the rafters until he had struck Branwen and gone on his way. When Branwen had taught the bird all the words she wanted it to learn, she prepared the bird for the trip home to Wales. She sang the songs of Wales, those she had learned as a child, and those that children still sing today. And she spoke of the bird pictures of the mountains and the sea, the valleys and the trees. And always she spoke of Bran. She held the bird gently, close to her white breast, her hands covered in flour, her eyes moist and her heart racing with feelings. Hope, loss, fear. All in time with the fluttering of the raven's heart and its own white breast. And then she walked away from the kneading trough, went to a window, and threw the bird up into the air.
Fly, my little friend, fly. Go swift and true. Brave the seas to find my brother. Fly, go and find Bran. Tell him my tale. Fly harder than you ever have flown before. Fly.
Branwen!
The raven was about to descend and land on Branwen's shoulder, but she stopped as she saw the butcher rushing over to berate her and order her back to work. The bird took to the air and flew around the encampment a few times, uncertain about what to do. She knew that Branwen wanted her to fly far, far and further over the seas, although she was not quite certain why. But she also didn't want to leave Branwen. With Branwen's voice echoing in her head, the raven took to the warm air and rose high above the lush green fields around the halls of Matholwch, King of Erin. A decision made, she headed east over the land, stopping to rest in the tallest trees, hiding from the occasional predatory eagle, until she came to the sea. In those days, the Irish Sea was not as wide as it is today, and the plucky little raven struck out for the coast of Wales, streaking over the black pool of swirling water formed by the River Poddle meeting the mighty River Liffey, and heading for the breakers rolling onto the beaches. She swept her wings back in long, powerful strokes, rapidly gaining altitude, and her keen eyes could just about see the green hills of the coast of Wales, far, far ahead. In our next episode, Bran receives some startling news and goes on a trip with his brothers to the green fields of Erin.
I suspect that's going to be a little more complicated than it sounds.
I think you might be right. So we have a promo for you. And the promo is from one of the actors that we have in the show called Greg Draven. Now, Greg Draven takes on the role of Nissian and Evnissian in this story, The Saga of Branwen. He's a very talented man.
He certainly is. And he has his own YouTube channel. And he tells stories and he's fantastic. So have a listen to his promo.
Hi there, folks. I'm Greg Draven. And over on my YouTube channel, among other things, I tell short stories by wonderfully talented authors. So hop on over to my YouTube channel now. Just search for Greg Draven Actor. I look forward to telling you some stories.
Thank you, Greg. And we'd also like to send out a huge thank you to those folks who are supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast. If you would like to join them in supporting our podcast to continue to dramatise these amazing stories, please do pop along to patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast and help us out.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. So it's time for some amazing music. What have you got for us?
Have a listen to the fantastic Australian band Spiral Dance with a track from their latest album, Land and Legend. This track retells the Irish story of the fate of the Children of Lear. So let's enjoy The Children of Lear by Spiral Dance.
And we'll be back with you next week. So take care and we wish you many blessings. Húl vár.
Atlantic, the waters chill and deep. And in the Bay of Eris, waves will rock you as you sleep. And when a queen from the south goes north to wed a king, and when you first reach dry land and you hear a church bell ring, when you find the lake of birds, only then will you be free. But until then, this mighty curse will keep you far from me.
Been listening to the Celtic Myth Pod Show. If you enjoyed listening to this show, please come and support us on Patreon at patreon.com/Celtic Myth Podcast.
We hope you'll stay tuned for the next episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email us at CelticMythShow@gmail.com or come and chat to us on social media. All of the links are on our contact page on our website at CelticMythPodShow.com.
We'd also like to send out a big shout of thanks to Coolan's Hounds for our theme music, and that's available at sfhounds.com.
This show is a Celtic Myth Show production.